Yo. Can you hear me? You listening to
Hashtag WAW. What a week.
Eta, welcome to another edition of Wow, What a Week. We have another extraordinary episode with a young man that auditioned me for my second and third rounds of auditions at YFM back in 1997. It's my birthday week, and he said to me, my man, it's your birthday week, I'm going to interview you. And that's how we ended up here. Coming up next.
This is
Wow!
What a week.
What a week. Celebrity guest.
Celebrity guest.
All right, welcome to Wow, What a Week. But I'm going to call this one Wow, What a 19 Hours. Because we decided 19 hours ago that, you know, for Tato's birthday, I will come and do the interview. I don't know what got into me, but hey, we're here. Let me start with this. Happy belated birthday.
Thank you very much.
You know, Happy New Year, I like to call it, because, you know, it is your new year.
You know, if we actually treated our birthdays as the start of our new years,
yeah,
we'd probably feel less pressure that we feel at the beginning of the year.
Absolutely.
Because a lot of us now go into this whole, it's new year, new me, or we postpone starting certain things because you're waiting for the new year.
Absolutely. Just for a quick introduction, my name is Greg Maluka. I will be your host for today. I will be running things, as some of our colleagues back at Y used to say.
A ting runner.
But first and foremost,
yeah.
How are you, man?
Grand. It's actually a weird birthday. I'll tell you why.
I can tell you why.
Yeah, but you interview me, remember? This is my first birthday since 1999.
Sure.
That I don't have a birthday wish from Tabuso.
25 years.
So it's been 25 years of happy birthday every year. This is the first time it doesn't happen. So yesterday was actually a very weird day.
Yeah.
So it was very weird.
I mean, when I saw your post, that was one of the first things that, you know, popped in my head.
Yeah.
That this is probably... Not probably. I mean, this is one major difference.
Yeah.
In
our daughter turned 16 2 weeks ago. This is her first birthday without her mom. So, you know, there'll be a lot of firsts. I think the next
few years will be...
The next 11 months will be weird for everyone.
Incredible. I mean, you know? there's a quote, and I forget who this is by, and I'm just going to paraphrase it, that describes grief as the love that you can't give anymore.
Yeah.
You know, that just like piles up inside of you, and because people aren't with you physically,
yeah,
you know, you are not able to express it. How are the children? How are my nephews and nieces?
You know what, the kids are, it's one day at a time. Like I always tell people that all you can do is take things a day at a time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it hasn't been an easy 7-8 weeks, but with each passing day, with each day of prayer, each day of reflection, you know, they're slowly making peace with the reality.
Yeah.
Because you never get over it, you never get used to it. You learn to live with it, is where I believe they are.
And has the world been kind to you? I mean, we've been horrible to you in the last couple of years.
Mm.
On a variety of issues.
Mm.
But have we at least been a little kinder to you?
Honestly, I think my people are what I care about.
Yeah.
So I don't worry about the people who are not my people.
Yeah.
So if there's any unkindness, I've not been privy to it.
Yeah.
And quite frankly, I don't care about it. And I think that's been my attitude in this industry from day one.
Yeah.
That... find your tribe, and your tribe have got your back for the rest of your life. Everything else eventually is of no consequence.
Absolutely.
Unless you allow it to be of consequence.
And I mean, we have talked about this over and over again.
Absolutely.
Just about how there's always that part of the world that is with you, and that part of the world that is not, and that's okay. In fact, that's how it should be.
And you know the weird thing, when I went to boarding school when I was 13, that's one of the things my dad said to me, that you're going into a boarding house with kids from different backgrounds, kids who might not have the same belief system as you.
Yeah.
Kids who might not like you for whatever reason.
Yeah.
Or kids who might gravitate towards you. But the one thing you must never do is try and please every single one of those people. Do what you do from your place of honesty, from your truth.
Yeah.
And those that gravitate towards you will, and that those that don't might realize later what they've been missing out on. And even if they don't, you lose nothing.
Absolutely.
So I learned from like the age of 13 that don't try and please everyone.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to succeed.
No, you won't win.
I don't like everyone myself. Like, why should I try have everyone like me when there are people I don't like?
The last promo you did of Tabiso's interview.
Yeah.
You know,
she was sitting right here.
You guys cut a clip and you teased her about, you know, how she will take on people's challenges.
Yeah.
And before you know it, there's a big discussion at home. She's crying. She's trying to save someone's life. But people don't know that you are the same. I mean, I watched that thing. I'm like, look at this guy. You know, you are the same. You are the guy who is mushy and gooey inside, who wants to save the world. In fact, you used to have a phrase back in the day where you would say that, you know, wherever the world or wherever in the world you are, whatever is needed for someone, you will do it.
I'm that guy.
For as long as you are able to.
Mm.
And I mean, that would be a thing that you guys had in common, right?
You know, it's weird because she would always yell at me for my inability to say no
right.
to people who need help.
Yeah.
But more often than not, my wanting to help people would be monetary.
Right.
So it would demand a bit more from me.
Right.
Where her wanting to help people more often than not would be with prayer, would be with call me if you need to talk.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So for me, it was always hurting the pocket, wanting to help people. So she felt I need to learn to say no at some stage.
Yeah.
And it's something I was working on. I mean, it's still something I'm working on right now.
Yeah.
Whereas with her, we had like a prayer session at the house.
Yeah.
After she passed away. And it was there that we realized how many prayer groups she was a part of over the last 20 years.
Isn't it amazing that things
she was literally part of easily 5, 6, 7 groups of different women that either she met with and they ministered in ministry or they prayed.
Yeah.
There was a group she prayed with at midnight. There's a group she prayed with at 3 a.m.
I mean, I learned some of these things as well.
Yeah.
You know, at her farewell.
Yeah.
And it was incredible the many, you know, women who were talking just about how she was there for them.
Yeah, absolutely.
I had just spoken to her the Wednesday before.
Yeah.
And I mean, always soothing, always healing to have that conversation, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
We're really going to miss her, man. Like, it's...
Dude, like I said, it's
insane.
It's been the most surreal seven, eight weeks.
Yeah.
And also because the last proper laugh we had together was in here. And Lifika, our 9-year-old, was also here.
Oh, man.
So for him, me coming every Wednesday to record is almost bittersweet.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because she was feeling unwell during the interview.
Sure.
That's why we never finished the interview and we agreed that we'd do a part two. Because then we took her to hospital.
Yeah.
And they ran a barrage of tests, blah, 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 scans, and they said they found nothing. There's nothing to worry about.
Sure.
Is what they said. So that was Wednesday. Thursday, we went back to hospital to check up on her. And they said they want to just monitor her one more day to see if there's anything to worry about. Is there an impending stroke or whatever else? And we even had dinner. We had dinner at the clinic in the evening, sitting, laughing, blah, 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 blah.
Oh.
The next morning, she had a cardiac arrest. the next morning.
That's incredible. So, I cannot believe how quick that was.
And a part of me gets upset at the fact that you were in a medical institution.
Yeah.
Under observation.
Yeah.
How did they not pick up that?
And being told that there's nothing.
They're not picking up anything. So I mean, initially we all wanted to do like a post-mortem and everything else.
Yeah.
But her mom was like, I'm not having anyone cut up my daughter to do a post-mortem, so rather let's leave it. So a part of me wishes we'd, you know, so a part of me wishes we'd actually forced it.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't make sense. But anyway, so...
It doesn't.
But where we are at and...
Yeah, yeah. Strength, my man. Strength.
Thanks, my dude.
I love you, brother. We all couldn't process it, you know. And just in the way that it happens, it just didn't make sense. Mm. But like you say, here we are. And I think to honor her memory, you know, that love for God that she had is just something that we've got to instill in our children.
Absolutely.
And keep praying ourselves, you know? Man. Anyways, let's switch gears a little. What I did was I phoned up a couple of people. Just to say to them, don't worry, we don't have voice notes or anything. This is the most unprepared version of your show. So, and if you lose audiences, I mean, hey, they'll come back at the next episode. But, and I called people that some you know, some you don't know, to say to them, you know, I said to them, I'm having a conversation with Fresh tomorrow. What would you want to know, right? And the reason I did this is because, you know, when you've known someone for 30 years, you know, I know, but, you know, you sometimes never know what and how to ask. Yeah. So I spoke to Kagiso, and you will meet Kagiso. In fact, you know Kagiso. Kagiso Mnisi. Kagiso Mnisi asked quite an interesting question, which, you know, he says, you've often spoken about your father and the impact that, you know, your father has made on you. And in fact, you just now spoke about him when you went to boarding school, you know, and that lesson he gave you. But he's very interested in the quiet strength of your mother. And that's how he phrases it. And he says, talk to us about, you know, her quiet strength and her influence on you.
You know, the weird thing is, because my dad was a diplomat, he spent a good part of the first 8-9 years of my life on the road.
Right.
So I just spent that time with my mom. And I had a weak chest as a kid, so I was always sick. I had bronchitis, I had pneumonia. There was a time when my dad was the district commissioner for two different villages in Bots.
Yeah.
Mulepulule and Khansi. But they are hundreds of kilometers apart.
Right.
And it's only desert between the two.
Oh, wow.
So often, Dad would have to get into his Chevy Custom 10. With the champion gear.
Is that Chevy with the one seat?
No, with that one long bench.
One long bench, yeah.
So we had that Chevy. And
love it.
So for instance, the story about how when I was 18 months, I ran such a temperature, and Dad is out of town.
Sure.
So we're in Mulepulule village.
Yep.
So Mom literally apparently took ice because my dad was a district commissioner in 1973. So we had a fridge and ice, by the way.
So Khalil de Cosby.
You know Khalil.
Okay.
So my mom literally apparently took a towel and ice and wrapped me in it and walked to the hospital.
Wow.
And when she got to the hospital, they told her that had she not managed to lower my temperature, chances are I would have plugged it.
My goodness.
Apparently that's how much of a temperature I was running.
I think it's still running the temperature sometimes.
So old lady, in fact, weirdly, my mom and Tabiso's mom are very similar in many respects.
Wow.
They're very understated, they're very stoic. They're very strong,
yeah.
But they also have influence. That's and sometimes incredible. The influence is in what they don't say.
Yeah.
Not in what they say.
And I mean, we see some of the stuff come out. I mean, again, Kagiso quotes you at YFM, you know, you had this phrase, if it doesn't break my back, I'll do it.
In fact, it's because I used to watch my mom do charity work.
Yeah.
I mean, she was a businesswoman. She yes. ran a supermarket.
Yeah.
So my mom went from being a banker. She worked in a bank at Barclays Bank.
The Barclays Bank.
And then my dad was in government.
Yeah.
And then they both just decided we're going to open a supermarket. So they quit.
Incredible.
With zero experience, zero familial knowledge of business. They just said we need to chart our own path.
Sure.
And that's what they did. So despite the fact that my mom was running a business,
yeah,
and my dad was a serial business person, so he'd open a second business,
yeah,
and then my mom must run it. He opened another business, and he's busy going to the farm. He's busy with his political career. She must run it.
Wow.
But despite all of this, she still have time to go to Childline and do work,
sure,
for instance, and she'd always impressed it upon us, well, me at the time, because my sister hadn't been born yet,
yeah,
that it's important if you are able to show up for people, be there for people, don't just talk about it, make a difference.
So in Tabiso, you married your mother?
Literally, that's what it is.
Wow.
Literally, that's what it is.
Incredible.
And the fact that they both make Oros the same way, me was like, okay, she's the one.
Oh, man. And so another guy I spoke to was Muhau. And Muhau says, you came into the spotlight as a presenter very young at YFM.
Yeah.
I'm glad I had something to do with that. Thank God.
Thanks for the job.
He says, you then moved to 5FM.
Yeah.
When you were a bit more grown and mature.
Mm.
And then you moved to Metro. Mm. Almost always voted the coolest station, and you have always been voted one of the that Sunday Times Gen X.
Yes, yes.
They always voted you as, I don't know who you paid there, but they always voted you as kind of like the kids' favorite.
Even after I stopped doing radio for 2 years in a row, the youth still voted me.
I remember that.
The coolest radio presenter.
How have you kept in touch with young people?
You know, it's the weirdest thing.
Yep.
How kids love me and gravitate towards me.
Yeah.
Even just yesterday, picking up Lifika from school.
Right.
You know that I high five and I greet. Some even ask for hugs. And the weird thing is, more often than not, is the boys that are asking for hugs.
Oh,
and
really?
I'm happy to see that.
That's
because I feel our boys need to understand that there's nothing wrong with receiving love and showing love.
Yeah, that's important.
So for instance, my boys' friends,
yeah,
Figure's friends,
yeah,
I tell them I love them.
Yeah.
So that they understand, yeah, that it's not a girly thing.
Yes. Important to hear that
to
love.
Give or receive, yeah,
absolutely,
love. So for instance, like I said, I mean, I pick up Lifika every day from school.
Yeah.
Schedule allowing. You know, I high five at least 20 kids walking in and walking out.
Sure.
None of them have heard me on the radio. None of them know my...
I mean, you're just a cool dad. I mean, I'm sure they look at their dads and like...
But it's always, hello, DJ Fresh. How are you, DJ Fresh?
Oh, nice.
Or my mom watches the podcast. Or my dad loves you. Or my mom played you a song, played me a song of
your
yours.
Song, yeah.
But it's wild how it's been like that my entire career. Like my entire career.
That's incredible.
Even when they had the Kids' Choice Awards, I think it was Kellogg's Kids' Choice Awards.
Yeah.
Those are probably the only awards I've ever attended, because each year they said to me, you've won. We need you. You know what I mean? And
yeah,
that was when I still had Y.
So, yeah.
So every year they tell me, you've won. We need you there. The only other awards I've attended were the Sele Matunzi Tuku Tuku Awards.
Right.
Because again, there they said, you've won. We need you there.
Incredible.
And even at those awards, I sat in the car. And I said, call me just before my category.
Yeah.
So I literally walked in from the back door.
Did straight onto the stage, way, got your award.
Kenneth Nkosi gave me my award.
And you walked
and
out.
I went back to my car and I went home.
Wow.
Because for me, as much as awards, they're nice to have.
Yeah.
Being acknowledged, especially if it's by your peers.
This is recognition, yeah.
It's recognition, but in the bigger scheme of things, I don't care. I mean, you managed my radio career for almost 9-10 years.
Yeah.
Not once have I cared about how many people are listening.
Absolutely.
Not once have I said, so what are the listenership figures? My attitude has always been, am I bringing you the right people that you can buy, you can sell airtime about and say, these are the listeners, advertise to them. But for also, me, that's what it is.
But also, are we shifting culture?
Yeah.
You know, are we making people better? Whenever they listen.
Exactly.
You know, in fact, that was one of the questions was, you know, good or bad, how do you think you've impacted the culture?
Yeah.
And how do you see it now versus then? Mm. So, you know, you and I have been on this game over 30 years now.
Sure.
You know, and there's been, you know, lots of changes and lots of shifts. Mm. Some of it our fault. How do you see the culture now versus then? And specifically your impact on it?
Because I've always been intentional about my why.
Yeah.
Because a lot of us function, there's no guiding light.
Yeah.
My why has always been my guiding light.
Yeah.
The projects I've turned down because they did not water my why.
Gotcha.
And my why often is, are we impacting lives?
Yeah.
Are we positively impacting lives?
Yeah.
Are we changing lives?
Yeah.
Is the next link I'm about to do, does it have the ability to change the mindset of even just one person?
Yeah.
So my why is what has driven me my entire career.
Okay.
And that is for that reason that I've had the impact that I've had.
Yeah.
And it's for that reason that my why will ensure that even for the next 50 to 100 years, if you talk about people that impact on air, I can guarantee you I'll be in the top 10 for the next 100 years.
Listen, so over the last
decade... If not the top five.
If over the last decade,
yeah.
What has been happening to me consistently has been people coming up to me, if they like meet you, you know, on the streets.
Yeah.
And they say, man, this is who I am. I'm now the CMO of this, or I'm now running X. Mm. And I won that DJ Fresh scholarship that you guys used to run on Y. Or, you know, there was that bursary thing.
Yeah.
And I am so glad that, you know, we are alive to talk about it. One, you know, to also just give you your flowers, man. I mean, there's... You know, there's hundreds upon hundreds of people. You know, like I said, we kind of forget 30 years goes by so quickly.
Yeah.
And people say, well, you know, I was very young and you guys really shaped my thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thank you for that, you know, because it was very... You guys made it easy for me to work with you. You know, we were peers, we're the same age. I had a role... You know, you could have made it very difficult. You didn't. You know, and I've always wanted to appreciate you for that. So thanks, brother. One of the things that Kubi, our other guy, who loves you dearly and deeply, just back on the culture piece says, you know, when you move to five, he says, Fresh or Kawadile, you know, we moved to five, we were like, okay, we are go Dingamling.
Sure.
You know, and partly felt like you were betraying the movement.
Mm.
But then there was this shift that started to happen.
Yeah.
Where cultures started to merge.
Yeah.
Like they have never before. I mean, there were kind of like stints here and there. I think, you know, Titch did not have that massive impact, but he kind of started the shift. Bob in some ways, you know, kind of, but when you came on the scene, you know, you really moved that piece so far that, you know, guys, I mean, Kluby says, now we were into electronic house music and all of that stuff. That time for you?
It goes back to my why.
Right.
Because I remember at the time, Tabiso worked at SAFM.
Yes.
And I needed to go see her for something.
Yeah.
And...
Nolo check.
Nikki Lo check.
Yeah.
I gave you my Nolo check. Like they say, even in the relationship.
It's also check it, Dwan.
Hey. Don't leave the jolly.
Check it, Dwan.
Anyway, so I'm going to SAFM to go see her. And Ernest Pillay was working at 2000, I think.
Right.
And Gareth was at 5.
Yep.
So I came to the 5FM window to greet Gareth, because Gareth has been a fan of mine since I was at Y.
Yep.
And then Ernest was in the next studio. But Ernest was also part of management.
Right.
So when Ernest sees me at outside, he comes to greet me. And I say to Ernest, and I'm kidding.
Yeah.
So when are you guys bringing me to 5? And then we laughed about it. I went up to SAFM, Kilo Jolanyana.
Yep.
Came back down. A month later, I get a call from Ernest. 5FM management would like to meet you about your proposal.
About your proposal.
So we met at a very random coffee shop nyana in Melville. It was John Langford and Nick. Kind of Nick Grubb.
Okay.
Nick Grubb was programming. John Langford was management.
Right.
So they're like, so yeah, we'd like you to come to 5FM. Are you ready? Then I remember.
Were they ready?
No. It's like, oh, flip. Then I realized that my YFM contract, our new contracts,
yes,
ran until July.
Until July, yeah.
Bastards. and obviously, there's a reason they ran until July. So that if you leave, you can't leave before April.
Because April was the big period for all the other people.
So I literally, and I think my breakfast contract was a 2 or 3 year contract.
Yes.
So
you were probably one of the few guys who got the longest contracts from day one.
Yes, sir. No, I'm fully
just
aware.
Again, just
no,
to
no,
mention.
No, I'm fully aware.
Yeah.
But by then, you've left Y.
Yes.
You've left Y by then.
I had.
I wasn't happy. And, you know, you say what you want. If you want to defend him, you can defend him. I think Canthen could have done so much more for that station, but instead he blew a beautiful thing we'd built, is what I believe. You don't have to comment. you don't have to comment, but like I said, I think there's so much more Canthen could have done with what we built.
Can I just say,
yeah,
he did well with the Academy though.
No, the Y Academy is a brilliant game changer.
Okay.
And I was a lecturer at the Y Academy every year.
Cool.
Because I understand why you'd have a Y Academy.
Yeah.
But in terms of programming, I think a lot of balls were dropped.
Gotcha.
Saying that, for instance, drum and bass is going to be the next big thing, or was it dubstep? So we're not going to play kwaito anymore because dubstep is going to be the next big thing.
Yeah.
Now, for me, that was a known goal.
Well, I mean, I think that. I think that there was a huge misunderstanding,
yeah,
just generally in radio,
yeah,
about what made us successful.
Sure.
People did not, you know, kind of internalize the stuff that made us successful.
Yeah.
It wasn't what genre of music.
Yeah.
It wasn't whether you've got the best news anchor or you've got the best DJ or you've got the... It was always... Are you able to connect with the audience sincerely?
Why was an attitude?
It was a revolution.
It was an attitude. Yeah. I mean, I remember when we were doing breakfast, Le Tato.
Yes, Tato to Tato.
And I said to you, in fact, Tato was not supposed to be on air. Greg was like, why? Who's this kid on my radio station? I was like, my man, just give me a chance.
Yeah.
and that's the one thing I've always appreciated about you.
Yeah.
That even when you didn't agree with me, you'd give me just enough rope to either make it work.
Yeah.
You gave me just enough rope to either be Tarzan or to hang myself. And every time you gave me a chance to prove myself, I did. And I appreciate that. So
yeah, man, that was like I said earlier, you made it easy for me to
guys,
work with you.
That's what radio management is about. You let people show you. You don't just say, I'm getting a boss, so this is my... No, guys.
Yeah.
That's not how you manage talent.
No, absolutely not. And I mean, I was really grateful to have to have worked with you guys.
I'll give another example.
Yeah.
The number of times we said things on the radio that were borderline fireable offenses.
Oy.
But not once did this dude pick up the phone while we were on air to say, what the hell are you doing? Waited until the end of the show, then we dealt with it.
Yeah.
Don't call talent on air. Stupid. Like, why do people do that?
Well, I mean,
radio management still do that. I'm on air. I need to deliver optimally. But you're going to call me and shout at me.
Just on that piece, I mean, how do you think the game is changed.
I'm still answering another question.
Talk to me about radio. Okay, after you answer that question, talk to me about radio. Talk to me about the entertainment scene.
In fact, what was the question? Where were we going before?
It doesn't matter. Let's talk.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So we're talking about why and me moving to Five.
Right. Yes, the culture shift.
So for me, the way things were starting to be run at Y made it easier for me to actually leave.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Where Bondo was our manager, but you can tell that Bondo is being, there's interference in Bondo trying to lead and steer the ship.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, God bless his soul, but Bondo was in the deep end, but not allowed to try and swim because there's interference.
Yeah.
So that made it easy for me, for Thomas Msenga and Abadwe T and Zbu to decide, okay, we're out of here. That made it so easy. Anyway. So we when 5FM say to me, we are serious, we want you here.
Yeah.
The first question I asked myself was, does it feed my why?
Your why.
And my why is impact. Yeah. My why is memorability. Yeah. My why is, are we going to change lives? And I said to myself, if I will go to a metro, how much of the needle can I shift?
Yeah.
Versus if I can go to a 5FM and say to other black kids, that guys, there's an avenue here not many people have actually gone up.
Yeah.
And my goal was, actually I had one goal. I want to be the first black guy to do breakfast go five, the first black guy to do afternoon drive show.
Yeah.
Then my job there is done.
Yeah.
And I succeeded in doing that. A part of me is upset that I left as soon as I did.
Yeah.
But, you know, SABC radio management decided Glenn has left Metro, I must go to Metro. I wish I hadn't done that. Because often I've been
there. Is that, with that looking back now?
No, looking back, my time at Five was not done.
Yeah,
my time at Five was not done.
No, it wasn't.
You know what I mean?
I agree with you.
But because Metro is treated like this holy grail, we can redeploy people in jail. It doesn't matter what they feel at Five. I mean, my management at Five were very upset, and I understand why.
Yeah.
That you guys want to come and take our breakfast show host simply because you manage your own.
And I guess, I mean, that was one of the other very glaring challenges at the Koperasi at the time around how the mothership was run versus how the individual brands were being run. And the state of all of that now, what do you think of, you know?
I mean, let me finish my question. I'm still answering the question. Anyway, so I remember deciding that...
We need 22 episodes for this thing, but anyway.
We must actually do this once a month. So I remember saying, okay, you know what? I'm actually going to go.
Yeah.
And I remember we had the conversation with the missus, and I told her, I'm going.
Yeah.
And she was like, are you sure? I'm like, yeah. And she's like, okay, you have my support. But we had to keep everything under wraps. Because I couldn't tell why anything yet.
Yes.
And in fact, the day we released the statement... I was on a flight to London for some gigs.
Yeah.
So by the time it hit the Sunday papers,
you were out of town.
I was in London. That's when the announcement came.
Yeah.
I was in London.
And we had had that meeting that said, okay, not everybody must go, because then everybody was, there was going to be a mass exodus.
Yeah. Anyway, so I remember saying to my resident DJs, Kent, Euphonic, Dino Bravo.
Yeah.
Guys, I am not moving to Five. We are moving to Five.
Yeah, I remember that.
You know that they panicked.
I remember that.
Because my contract went until the end of June, YFM put me on garden leave.
Yes.
So garden leave is basically, you're contracted to us.
Yeah.
You don't have to do any work, but we'll pay you.
Well, yeah.
So for 3 months, I was literally sitting at home, waiting to start this this show at 5FM.
Yeah.
And you know that once a week, either Euphonic or Kent or Dino Bravo would call me and say, my man, are you sure about this?
Yeah.
And I said, guys, trust me. I know exactly what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Because, again, this is uncharted territory, especially for your average black talent.
Absolutely.
That deserves an even bigger audience.
Yeah.
And that was precisely the plan. Because my condition was one to 5FM management.
Yeah.
As long as I can bring my resident DJs,
yeah,
and as long as I can start an Ultimix at 6, because for me, the DJ culture is everything.
It's big, yeah.
And for me, it's important that we give these kids a platform. And I think the last time the needle in the dance culture changed the way it did when I moved to Five was when we started Fresh House Flavor.
Yeah, was right at the beginning.
So without blowing my own horn, I can proudly say I single-handedly, on two occasions, shifted dance culture needle in this country in a way that has changed lives sustainably.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's created millionaires, it's created careers,
yeah.
and it continues to do that. It continues to feed off
itself. It's the gift that keeps giving.
As it should.
Yeah, as it should.
That is why I went to Five, because I knew there's a market there that is not tapped.
Yeah.
And it got so crazy that all of a sudden, I'm getting calls from DJs with the same skin color as me on some. How the fuck did I go for it? And unfortunately, and this is not a race thing.
Yeah.
A lot of radio stations are about, can you fit in the culture of that radio station?
Yes. Not can you improve and bring something magical and bigger that allows us to grow as a brand as well.
But even if you do that, shift it from inside.
Yeah.
Don't come with the intention of, we're changing things around here.
Yeah.
And I think that is why there was initially the pushback from mainly white males.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember
that listened to the radio station.
I remember that piece, yes.
Because at the time, there was no social media. But there was Biz Community.
There was
Biz Community had an article saying DJ Fresh is moving to 5FM.
Yeah.
And I suspect the most interactions they've had under any article at the time was that
piece.
Article.
Yeah.
And 90% of it was negative from white males.
I remember.
Who felt it's an affirmative action appointment.
Shift,
Who's this black? Who's being appointed here?
Yeah.
But what's more disappointing is even some of my black colleagues in the industry felt it was a bad career move.
Yeah. I remember that enough. And I think one of the things that the reason I knew it was a fantastic move was, and I don't know if you remember this, but there was a stage where when we were still at Y, we were trying to court Roger Good.
Oh, yes, I remember.
Right.
I remember.
Remember, we had a whole conversation and we said, and we said, okay, let's go after Roger because this is the next shift.
Absolutely.
In the space.
And for me, that was another reason why it was important to go to a Five.
This is the thing.
Our children are making friends across the board now.
Yeah.
Things are not as black and white as they used to be.
Yeah.
And generally it's, do I like the vibe here?
Yeah.
Whether I'm black or white.
Yeah.
Do I like the vibe here?
Is this good here? Is this good for me?
Exactly. Yes. And that's one of the reasons eventually it wasn't even difficult to leave 5FM.
Yeah.
Because I looked at how the music policy shifted.
Yes.
And how musically it was starting to sound more like Metro and the YFM.
Yeah.
Versus being the alternative.
Yeah.
To other people.
Yeah.
Maybe they were scared by Nota's letter when he was complaining about SA Hip Hop not being played on the station.
I don't know.
But the point I'm making is, for me, musically, it stopped being where I can run to when I don't want to listen to a Metro or a YFM.
Yeah.
So I was like, if we're all going to sound the same, I might as well go to the biggest one of the platforms.
You know what I mean? And it's incredible because, again, just going back to why, you had that alternative Wednesday.
And again, it's another feature you didn't like. So we decided, because I listened to a lot of 5FM at the time, that there's a lot of soft rock, there's a lot of alternative songs that would fit our people.
Yes.
Because they trust us.
Yes.
And that's another thing that having a music manager and a playlist takes away often.
Yeah.
That often because we're on the street, we understand where people are and what they want to hear.
And even unless that music manager is living in those streets with you.
Unless the music manager, and half the time the music manager...
He was the manager.
Have no idea what's going on the street. So we introduced a feature called Alternative Wednesdays, where we'd play one rock song or one alternative song, and he had a baby. I think we started with Nickelback. Remind me, Greg.
I had a baby. I had twins. I was like, what the hell? And I must say, though, that taught me a lot.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because, I was also quite, I suppose, militant in a way.
Yeah.
And very much black conscious.
Yeah.
But as you get wiser, consciousness is not about...
Yeah, like, why are they saying the colonizers music?
Consciousness is about comfort in self.
Oh, yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And being confident in yourself,
yeah,
and actually really doing whatever the hell you want.
Absolutely.
You know, but I mean, yeah, I mean, Alternative Wednesday was one of those other things that was just incredible.
It was so dope.
And that also shifted quite a few things. I mean, that was another culture-shifting moment for me, I think.
In fact, I often argue that our breakfast show on YFM was so impactful.
Yes.
That various radio stations changed their breakfast shows once or twice.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
I think Metro changed the breakfast show once or twice.
Yeah.
I think Kaya changed the breakfast show once or twice.
If not three times. Yeah.
So, yeah.
There were some major shifts. I mean, I don't know how we're doing for time. I know, you know, I was only invited here for an hour, but...
No, let's go, my man.
There's at least 700,000 other hours that we can fill.
No, let's talk. Let's go.
Stuff to talk about. But maybe let's shift to now, today.
Yeah.
I mean, podcasting has become a thing. This is where you are now. This is
sure.
what you do.
Mm.
How has that shift been for you?
To tell you the honest truth, the only reason I did this was to scratch an itch.
Yeah.
In terms of people having access to me or yeah. the way I think or
yeah.
what I think.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember John Savage from the Africa Podcast Network saying to me, "We need a podcast from you."
Yeah.
You know, I responded to his email a year later.
Wow.
Yeah. We started this February last year. He mailed me February the previous year.
Yeah. He's a very patient.
And it was more, like I said, just to scratch an itch, but also for people who are saying, "We miss your voice, we need you back, blah, 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 blah."
Right.
So there's more for that than anything else.
So if the right FM thing came around.
It's coming in April, watch.
Yeah, let's talk about that a little bit. So you know, you know. Okay, let's assume it's April now.
Yeah.
Can you tell us,
at
least how wide this range would go of the radio station? Because you clearly are not going to tell us what station you go into.
Oh, so basically, you don't know if it's nationwide or not.
Yes. Is it regional or national?
That's half the answer, Mus.
Come on, there's like what? How many radio stations?
It's global. Every radio station
is global.
If you have an app,
yeah,
you can go online. So it's global.
So we're getting nothing from it.
You're getting nothing from it.
Okay, all right.
But all things being equal, it should be another game changer.
Love that.
Because I believe if you're not going to do things to shift things.
Yeah.
Or as Oskido would say, to shift sheet.
Yeah.
You must shift sheet.
Yeah, my man, you can't just come and do...
Again, let's not do things for the sake of doing things.
Yeah.
You know, there's one thing I've never forgotten, that Grant Nash, arguably the best radio manager I've ever worked under.
Yep.
And I always repeat this. You know, I remember Grant saying to me when I was at Five, if after your breakfast show, you're not exhausted,
tired, yeah.
You didn't deliver.
But we used to have this conversation.
Yeah.
It's like, Karawaka talent.
Yeah. Like, you didn't deliver.
Yeah.
And I believe often people treat radio gigs as just another gig.
Yeah.
Versus, I'm going to do this thing like it's my last show.
Yeah.
And it's going to be such high energy, high impact, so memorable that one, I'm tired when I'm done doing it.
Yeah.
But secondly, people are going to talk about it when they get to work.
Yeah.
People are going to talk about it when they get home.
Yeah.
A husband is going to say to the wife, "Baby, did you hear what happened on the radio?"
Yep.
Radio doesn't do that anymore.
No.
Radio has lost its water cooler effect. And the water cooler effect is you get to work at the water cooler, you're discussing what was on the radio. Because it was that exciting, that impactful. It was that, it made you feel something. And another thing I've always said, if after I've done my radio show, you are indifferent, I haven't done my job.
Yeah.
You must either be happy, pissed off, upset, angry at me,
emotional,
happy with me.
There must be that.
If I've
that
not
all emotional
touched
job,
one emotional
button,
what are
those nerves? Yeah.
If you're indifferent at the end of the show, did I do a show? And why did I waste your time?
Yeah.
Why did I waste your time?
Yeah, 3 hours is a long time.
Huh?
3 hours is a long time.
3 hours is a long time for you to leave indifferent.
Yeah, absolutely.
I might as well just give you a minute of my best minute.
Or two.
I know. If you do the right job, a minute is more than enough, dog.
You're still an idiot. But anyway, I'm going to wrap it up.
No, my man, we can't wrap it up. We're not done.
I can, my man.
This guy.
I can wrap it up all I want. Yeah. You know, I've got places to go. But, okay, before we go, so where do you see the podcasting space shift to? I mean, you know, it's at the stage, obviously, there's 6 billion podcasts.
Yeah.
You know, some are incredibly successful, some aren't as successful. Mm. And some are constant, nice fire burns like yours. I think it's I like things that are slow burns.
And in fact, that's the reason we chose this format.
Yeah.
That we want something that will burn slowly, but sustainably.
Yeah.
And that's the first thing John said to us when we started the podcast.
Yeah.
He's like, can you do 100 episodes back to back? Because if you want to say to me no, then you're wasting your time.
Absolutely.
And often that's the first answer you give to anyone who wants to start a podcast.
Yeah.
Do you have 100 episodes in you?
In you, yes.
That you can knock out consistently?
Yeah.
God, you need to start there first. Then when you're sure you've got the 100 episodes, then you build on that.
Yeah.
Because the one thing a lot of us lack in most industries is consistency.
Yeah.
And consistency is what will get you further than anything else. Because you're building a muscle.
Yeah.
Consistency is
awesome. Yeah, that's always been the thing. Like, yeah. You know, once you get off the bike.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's a different story.
You get off the bike and then you're like, why am I not moving?
Yeah, exactly. Who's doing it for you now, just anyway in the game? So whether it's podcasting, whether it's radio, I mean, I'd be hard pressed to find someone.
Honestly, you know, as much as there's a ton of podcasts out there, I still listen to a lot of radio. Because I'm a radio head, like, through and through.
And what's working for you on radio? Who's
I'm loving Bongani Bingo's breakfast show.
Yeah.
I'm loving his breakfast show. Yeah. Because I still have a soft spot for 5FM.
Yeah.
I tune into 5FM as much as I possibly can.
Right.
The fact that Lula left Y for 5, I feel was an incredible decision.
Yeah.
And I'm glad Lula called me first before she went to 5. She actually called to ask for advice.
Yeah.
For those that don't know, Lula is the daughter of Eddie Zondi. When Lula was in grade 10, she came to me at 5FM with her mom and begged to shadow me.
Nice.
And she shadowed me. She was asking questions. I advised her on the route to take for her radio career.
Yeah.
You know, she followed to the T all the advice I gave her. To the T.
Sure. Incredible.
To the T, she ended up on UJFM, then at YFM, now she's at 5FM.
Incredible.
So for that reason, she, you know, she calls me her radio dad.
Yeah.
She will always bounce ideas off me and, you know, am I making the right decision or not? So the fact that she's going to 5 for me is I'm flipping happy for her.
You've had a lot of young people that you've kind of mentored in that space.
Sure.
I mean, it's generally mostly been guys, and I guess it's got to do with historically how the industry stacked.
Mm.
But do you find that women are more serious and more aggressive about what they get as advice and that they tend to do much better than their male counterpart? Or is it...
You know what I found, especially within our industry?
Yeah.
That for the longest time, the guys were hungrier than the girls to get in.
Yeah.
But the few girls that were hungry enough to want to do this did it well.
Yes.
Because generally, girls are more disciplined than we are.
Yeah.
Like I said, I mean, I gave Lula advice when she was in grade 10.
Yeah.
And she followed it to the T.
Incredible.
And it worked for her.
Incredible.
And so as much as I've mentored probably 90% of the people I've mentored are guys. The girls that have come through,
they've stayed on.
None of them has failed.
Yeah.
None of them has failed. None of them has felt like, okay, I can't do it
and give up.
I'm gonna look for another career or whatever else.
Yeah.
But generally, yeah, girls I think are more disciplined and more focused. Because guys banalinkani into a guy will come and put lipstick on a lion because he can. That's why you end up having more guys in the industry than girls.
Yeah.
But one thing I always advise the girls is stop trying to be the best girl in the industry.
Yeah.
If it's DJs that you're up against, you need to want to be the best DJ in the industry.
Yeah.
Not the best girl DJ. The novelty is gone. We don't care if you're a girl anymore.
Yeah.
We actually don't care.
Yeah.
What you identify
as. It doesn't matter. Yeah.
Are you
possibly. It's like saying, you know, black.
Yeah.
Like, no one cares. Just be great.
Being the first black, unless it's in Orania, being the first black is not necessarily a novelty anymore.
No.
You might celebrate it as a victory in your circle.
Yeah.
But in the bigger scheme of things, are you the best there is
at
that moment?
Quit with this black excellence thing. Excellence is just excellence.
And in fact, that's one of the reasons why my imposter syndrome when I got to five, I could not allow to get the better of me.
Yeah.
Because as much as I've been exposed to white kids right from kindergarten.
Sure.
So right from the age of three, I was in class with white kids, black kids, Indian kids, Chinese kids.
Sure.
So for me, in my mind, it was never white is right, black is not so good.
Yeah.
But because colonialism and imperialism and racism are so strong, in the back of your mind, you still have self-doubt. So walking into a place that was as lily white as a 5FM was, in the back of my mind, I'd often ask myself, do I even belong here? Should I be here? You know what I mean?
And I mean,
I'm the only guy with brown eyes. Everyone here has blue eyes.
And I mean, hell yes, you have every right to be there.
But then I reminded myself that actually my skin color doesn't matter.
No.
Do I have what it takes to be the best at the radio station?
It's the job.
Do I have what it takes to pull the numbers?
Yeah.
Dude, the numbers on the afternoon drive show were insane. They were insane, insane.
Crazy. They were crazy.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And generally in radio, breakfast gets the numbers.
Yeah.
And the money.
And then, yes.
And the advertising and the revenue. Yeah. But every radio station I've worked at, if I'm doing the afternoon show, breakfast
that's
and
what
a
it is.
Chance.
Yeah.
And a chance. And I could probably do it with a graveyard show. Try me.
Yeah, actually, we should try you. Put you on a 2 a.m. slot, see what happens.
My man, I would kill a graveyard show.
I love those shows because every listener is intentional about being there with you.
Yeah.
Right? Like, there's...
No one listens at 2 a.m.
Nighttime radio, like, it doesn't matter how many people are there, they are there for you.
But it goes back to what I was saying, though, that people are not trying...
Yeah.
Dude, if I did a late night show, it would be the most talked about late night show possibly on the planet.
It'd be best.
Because you would take it where late night ought to be.
Correct.
As opposed to, I'm just going to kickboxing.
I'm waiting to do a stand-in at 3 o'clock and then they'll discover
I'm going to play five songs. No, dude. And that's what I appreciated about Y, where Y tried hard to make sure that our programming is intentional even after midnight.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
That's how YFM program
was
back
serious.
Then.
We were serious about
that. Even at midnight, we were intentional
about
what we're trying to do, who you're talking to, and where you want to take it.
I mean, Shaba used to have a show called Club Y.
Yeah.
And people ran around town looking for this club.
That's
how powerful the nighttime,
the
nighttime shows were. How do we... I mean, having walked this road, having been in these different environments having impacted young people in the way that you have. I mean, that's been a massive contribution in changing the country.
Yeah.
Right. Is your intention to carry on this when you start wherever you start in April? Can we rely on you? To continue to be this individual who cares about developing young people, who cares about, you know, continuing to bridge these racial divides that we have, continue to be this person who is serious about, you know, about fatherhood, serious about, you know, maintaining strong family bonds irrespective of the structures or the many structures of families that we find ourselves out there. There are several types of family structures, but those need to stay intact for us to kind of really make a shift in this country. particularly for black people in the country who are still finding their way. Mm. Can we rely on you to be that guy?
Again, my why does not allow for me not to be that guy. If I'm not going to wake up and try and shift how people think or how people live or how they perceive themselves even, then I'm wasting my time and I'm wasting their time.
Yeah.
So if I'm not going to positively impact someone's life or the status quo or how things happen, then what am I doing?
Yeah.
If I'm going to get on radio and be PC, because lately that's what the world expects you to be, that don't upset people. and unfortunately, radio is playing to the social media galleries now.
That's unfortunate,
you know, that's why even when I was on Mac G's podcast, remember you were asking earlier on what I listened to? Like Mac G, I mean, I love Mac G because he's so irreverent.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he's almost irreverent at a naive level. Of, he gets away with it almost because of that.
Yeah.
Whereas no one else could get away with
Spot
it.
Spot on.
And that's what makes Mac G.
That's his genius. That they're very special. And I mean, that combination with Saul and the ghost lady.
Exactly.
That, for me, I think is one of the things that, you know, I sometimes watch and I hang on to.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, we still have it.
It goes back to what I was saying.
Yeah.
That podcasting is becoming what radio used to be.
Correct.
Because radio is now playing to the social media gallery that has become so... You know, there's been politically correct.
Yeah.
And then there's been toxically politically correct.
Yeah.
I'll give you an example. The Chris Brown concert happening in December.
Yeah.
There's a group called Women for Change.
Yes.
And generally... I think they want to fight the good fight.
Yeah.
But I firmly believe they're so toxic in how they want to do it, they're going to eventually lose even the people that stand for them. Because now they want to bully everyone into standing for what they stand for.
Yeah.
Versus put how you feel out there and let people decide for themselves.
Sure.
So you can't bully someone into saying, why are you going to a Chris Brown concert?
Yeah.
It's wrong,
yeah.
I believe,
yeah.
that you want to bully people to take your position.
Yeah.
The world is not black and white.
Yeah, it's
not, the world is nuanced.
It's like religion. I mean,
exactly.
You know, when people say, well, you know, you are supposed to pray like this and you're supposed to say these words, and you're like, well, I mean, no.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, let me connect in the way that I connect.
Exactly.
I appreciate your connection.
Absolutely.
And but there's where these issues are concerned, I think also it's I mean, those can be black and white in some instances. We know the things that are wrong, we know the things that are right. But I mean, yeah, you're right. I mean, there's a lot of toxicity in that game.
Yeah. So let me finish. So I get the fight they are fighting.
Yeah.
For me, the how is going to lose them supporters.
Yeah.
Because in their eyes, everything is a nail and they're a hammer.
Yeah.
And they're just going to beat everything. Versus have people buy into your fight without trying to beat up other people that maybe are not in the fight with you.
Sure.
And for me, it almost speaks to why I believe cancel culture is misguided.
Yeah.
Because cancel culture almost says that anyone that has had an indiscretion, even if they've served their time, does not deserve to earn any kind of living under the sun.
Yeah.
How does that make sense?
Yeah. That's been quite an interesting element for me to say is
cancel
that
culture,
you were damned forever.
Cancel culture says you are the sum total of your one indiscretion.
Yep.
Or your two indiscretions, whereas people are nuanced.
Yeah,
people are so. I'll give another example. When I was doing Breakfast at Five about 7 years ago, played a Chris Brown song, and someone said, "How dare you play a Chris Brown song? We must can." It was before cancel culture was a thing.
Sure,
but already it was starting to rear its head.
Right.
And I played the song, I let it finish, and I read the person's tweet. And I said, one, he did his time. He did the crime.
Yeah.
He did his time.
Yeah.
He apologized.
Yeah.
He showed remorse. And she said she forgave him. Who am I to decide I'm not playing a song? Who am I to decide that not only am I not going to play a song, I'm also going to affect the pocket of the songwriter who also earns a living from that song?
But these are complex issues. And I guess, you know, one doesn't want to throw a blanket over them. I mean, there's R. Kelly, there's P. Diddy.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of music that's about to go off.
No, there's a lot of music that's about to go off. And if you believe cancel them and their music, so be it.
Yeah.
And I'd understand why you would believe that. But I'm not going to shout at Tabo, who wants to listen to an R. Kelly song because it was their wedding song.
Yeah.
And for him, it has a special place.
Yeah.
I'm not going to shout at him or judge him or ridicule him on social media because he chooses not to. Like, who am I to bully other people into taking my position? That's why I will never shut up people I don't agree with.
Sure.
I know people personally who believe that women like children should know their place. I don't agree with those people, but I'll never shut them up. I will fight with my life and put my life on the line to fight for your right to express yourself. Rather than you express yourself and I try and show you the other side, then shut you up and put you in a corner and say, cancel this person because I don't agree with what they
said. Don't agree with them, yeah.
So, but that's me. That's why, like I said, I will never cancel anyone. I don't think we're the sum totals of our indiscretions, that people who still feel Gayton McKenzie should not be a minister because he's got a criminal record. Gayton, after he left prison, changed so many lives that... You still want to say because he was in prison, he mustn't be a minister. So are you saying because he's done his time, he must now go sit in a corner and rot? Are you saying that of everyone?
The time doesn't matter.
It doesn't make sense, my dude.
Yeah.
So hence I'm saying that now for me, radio is missing voices that actually don't play to the galleries.
Yeah.
Because everyone now is so sensitive. Everyone is worried that what if they tweet and they come after? Let them come after you. But still have the courage of your convictions.
Yeah.
Have the balls to stand for what you believe
versus
let me just... No, dude.
Yeah. How do we teach our children this and how do we protect them from all of it?
Unfortunately, you can't...
Protection, we can't.
You can't protect them from it.
But
the best you could do for your children is arm them with as much knowledge as you possibly can such that when the time comes for them to make a decision or a call... It's as informed as possible.
Yeah.
There's nothing you can do to stop your child from going wayward if they want to go wayward.
Yeah.
So the best you can do is arm them with as much confidence, with as much information, and with as much positive affirmations as possible.
Yeah.
There's nothing worse than a child out there with zero self-esteem.
Yeah.
And then, why they're so easily swayed by other people.
Yeah.
When they don't even believe in themselves.
In themselves, yeah.
How are they going to stand for anything when they can't believe in themselves? So it's important that your kids understand how beautiful they are.
Yeah.
It's important for your kids to understand that they are made in the image of God, so they're gods themselves.
Yeah.
Don't walk into a room and feel like because I'm darker than the other kids, I'm therefore less than the other kids.
Yeah.
Or that because my one foot is shorter than the other, therefore...
Yeah, it makes you inadequate.
No.
Yeah.
And we need to remind our kids every single day
of that
who
aspect.
The fuck they are.
DJ Fresh, Tato Sekwane. Thank you, brother.
Thank you very much, brother, man.
Great honor for me to be here.
My man, you're coming back, but I need to interview you now.
We'll have that conversation another time.
No, but you know I'm having a series of people that have positively impacted my career. You're one of those people. And Oskido, in fact, Oskido's next. I think Oskido's on in a week or two.
Oh, lovely.
So yeah, you're there in the pipeline.
Okay, at least I'll be in a different chair. But
I've told this story before and I'm going to tell it again. YFM auditions, winter of 1997. I was a student at Boston Media House doing my third year. And we are doing auditions at Y. And there's a whole bunch of... I think we were the last lot to be auditioned.
Yeah.
Had we missed that audition, we would not have made it.
All 600 of you.
Exactly. So had we missed that last... It was the final audition.
Yeah.
I was there. Greg was there.
Mosquito.
Mosquito. Kenny Maestri.
Paul Nisi Wemvula.
No, was Paul in our group that day, or had he gone in earlier? I think he'd gone in. He wasn't at our.
Oh, you mean that co-group? Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah. No, he wasn't.
He wasn't at that one. Yeah. I think AK Mgaga, I think, was there.
Yeah.
And so we're all there. I mean, I knew Oskido.
Yeah.
And then
Oskido, we all knew Oskido.
And then Greg knew Oskido because Greg used to do events on campus at TNT.
Yeah.
And Greg, realizing how much talent there was at that audition, decided to get a piece of paper and write a proposal to the guys auditioning us. That, guys, this is how I envision this station working. Because he realized that, with these people here, I'm not going to make it on air.
Listen, the station was looking for probably, 15 people?
Yeah, 15 max.
There was probably 50 people who were far better than I was.
Yeah. So Greg wrote a proposal in the queue waiting for his audition. So like a couple of weeks later, I'm on campus. And then I'm told by my, I think the switchboard lady, that I got a phone call. Because remember at the time, I mean, we're kids. I didn't have a cell phone.
Yeah.
It's 1997. Cell phones are 3 years old. Yeah. I had a pager.
Yes.
But I'd stopped using it because I was like, you guys are not going to call. And then you guys called reception at Boston. Then they told me to call Sispumi. Yes. I called Sispumi. Sispumi is like, I need you to come in tomorrow for a re-audition. I was like, oh, shit, I made a re-audition.
Yeah.
As I walk in, this guy is re-auditioning me. This guy. He's now part of management. The moral of the story is sometimes know yourself and position yourself where you will best perform.
Yeah.
Some of us are in denial about what we can actually do. This is what I'm very strong at. Let me show you how strong I am at it. This man became my boss. We're in the same audition queue. 2 weeks later, he's re-auditioning.
It was a day later when I started running the auditions.
Yeah.
It was literally...
Yeah.
The phone, like 24 hours later, but yeah.
So learn from
incredible,
this.
Incredible.
Play to your strengths.
It was a good time.
And your strengths will feed you for the rest of your
absolutely.
Life.
Absolutely. Yeah, like they did you, man. And well done, for the last 35 years.
Yeah.
Most importantly, well done for being relevant to the young people.
Yes, sir.
We have to continue with that. You know, I often say that young people must be taken seriously.
Sure.
We need to plunge ourselves into making sure that they have what they need.
Mm.
They need to get the opportunities. They need, you know, to kind of thrive and change things. We got our shot as young guys.
Sure.
You know, somebody trusted me with something really huge at a very young age. And I often say, you know, who the hell do I think I am?
Yeah.
Not to trust another young person.
Absolutely.
You know, to do as well as we did. But yeah, man, listen, I look forward to our next conversation. Like I said, we could fill up days and days and hours, but I'm really truly honored to have been here on Wow, What a Week. We'll see you again next time.
No, thank you, Lucky.
Great time, man.
In fact, speaking of young people, can I shout out some of the youngsters I feel are making great radio right now? Like I said earlier on, shout out Lula. She's on 5FM at midday. Zanele and her team at 5FM. You guys are kicking so much ass right now. Shout out to them. Clement on 702. You are kicking so much ass.
Yeah, man. I love that show too.
Yo, Clem.
Yeah, I love
that
show.
He's come a long way.
He has come a long way. I love that show too. I mean, those two shows for me, they are really incredible.
Yeah.
Bongani and Clement.
So absolutely.
I think it's a very strong morning offering.
Yes, sir.
At the moment.
Yeah.
I think it's really incredible. I love Skumba for many reasons.
Yeah.
In fact, you know, he's an incredible guy.
Mm.
And especially when you know how to use him.
That's always been my argument.
You know, but
with all due respect,
really enjoy him. You know,
no one has yet mastered how to unlock Skumba the way Bob Mabena did.
Yeah,
I say this with all due respect.
Yeah.
Bob knew how to
use
Skumba.
Yeah.
And that's what you need to do when you have a comedian on your show.
Yeah, I will tell you that story when next we sit.
You need to know how to unlock that person.
Absolutely.
And the next person that's going to unlock Skumba on radio is this person here. So watch this space.
I love that.
So watch this
space. I love that.
I'll show you how to use Skumba. How to wear Skumba. I will show you how to do that.
I love that.
I love you, my dude.
That gives me a hell of a great, you know, feeling for the my day is made. My day is really made. I love you too, dog.
Yes, sir.
It's so good to see you.
Thanks for the job in 1997.
Hey, man. Thank you for the job in 1997.
You know, you could have skipped my name and hired 20 other people.
I was asked a question. They said, so where's your name on this? I said, no, These are the best people.
Yeah.
I'm not, but I mean, I'll take a weekend show. Anyways, dude, thank you, Vara.
Yes, sir.
This is real. Hey, tada.
Thanks for tuning in to this extraordinary birthday week edition of Wow What a Week. Shout out to Greg Maloka for saying, my man, let's sit down and talk. There's a lot to talk about. There's a lot to be grateful for.
Yeah.
There's a lot to celebrate. So thank you, Greg, the musical maestro Maloka. We'll do this again next week, live from AMP Studios, downtown Johannesburg. We're part of the Africa Podcast Network. Email us at waw@africapodcastnetwork.com. Shout out Trevor and the Pezulu Works team. They do all of the cinematography. If we looked amazing, it's thanks to them.
Yeah.
If we looked horrible, it's our fault. Shout out to Otis the Flo Fraser for all of our imaging, and to our executive producer, Keletso Modisa King. Till next week, have a wow week in spite of yourselves.